last week's testimony from David Morales and so forth bled over, and the message bled over into this week. Why? Because what we talked about last week is a reality for each and every one of us. It's life message. I titled it Before You. I preached it a long time ago, and I just shared some scriptures last week. I'm just going to share some scriptures this week. But the thrust, and picking up from last week, the thrust was this. we were sharing simply, as David stood there and testified about how his superiors, at least one or two, were really making it difficult for him to retire, trying to take money and hours and leave and all this. And it was people yelling at him and screaming on his next to the last day of work, and how Marilyn sent out text, said, would you please pray? And I'm getting used to this. As a matter of fact, I look forward to it each week, getting a text from somewhere, from somebody, saying, would you please pray for? Because if you haven't learned yet, you will learn that you cannot live this life all by yourself. You cannot, you will not live this life all by yourself. And so as the text began to come and we began to pray, and Marilyn would respond and say, look at what God did. And that's what David testified to last week as he stood there. And so it happened again. I'll share more of that later. But last week after service, we had a beautiful time just sharing and so forth, people pouring out their hearts to one another. And I go back to Loretta, and Loretta says, because you remember I just read through 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I go back to Loretta, and she says, Pastor, about a few days ago, I listened to Steve Furtick from Elevation Church, and he preached on 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I said, oh, okay. She says, last night, I was reading 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And then she said, and I come to church today. Now, where have I been for months? 1 Peter. Where was I last week? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. She says, then you preached on 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I said to her, do you think God's trying to say something to your sister? Do you think he's trying to say? And what is that? Simply that this battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Amen. Is that what the book says? Yes, what the record says. Amen. And so, you know, last week, obviously, I had no intention of speaking out of that book. Neither had it in my mind, but David's testimony and so forth, things came to that. So now we also talked about the prayer requests, as Jehoshaphat would have been, as I was making a New Testament application of 2 Chronicles 20, when Jehoshaphat told all of Israel and Judah, said, let's gather and seek the Lord. When he began to go into this turmoil, this storm, he didn't muster his army. He didn't immediately get all his weapons together. He said, no, let's go pray. And so when the texts were rolling in last week, that's what I saw it as, is that the people were crying out, said, we need to pray because there's a battle on the horizon. And so we talked about all of that. And as I said earlier, why do those texts come? Because we understand that we can't do this in our own strength, right? Why is that? And it's interesting because for the Christian, the creation knows that it cannot live apart from its creator for the Christian. Now, unsaved don't know this. They don't know, they won't accept the fact that they're created and therefore in desperate need of their creator, right? And that holds true for anything for you and I. If we create something, we make something. I mean, they can make an automobile, but it's still going to need gas and oil and all the rest of it for it to keep doing what it does. And so we come to God through prayer. Other people who don't pray, they self-medicate in other ways. That's why you see folk staggering and, come on, out late at night trying to, you know, pumping stuff in their arms and the bit, trying to self-medicate and trying to make it through this life because they don't know how to deal with it. Why? Because life is going to demand of you more than you have. life will demand of you more than you have, right? And so what happened was we heard all the testimonies and so forth. And then the next day, the very next day, I'm walking, doing my exercise, but I'm talking to Jesus and I'm praying, and I get a text. And it's Marilyn again. And she said, would you all please pray? Because for those of you who know Alex, he's David's nephew, his father had a massive heart attack and was thrown into a coma all at once. So we talked about this on Sunday, and then Monday, here it comes. And so she said, would you please pray? And we all went to pray, because the text people responding reads, you didn't get it because she had your home phone number in there. But anyhow, and so we went to praying, and so the update is, they said, thank you for praying. He's going to come out the coma, and the doctors believe he's going to make a substantial recovery. So we give God thanks and praise. And let me say again, things happen when you pray that do not happen when you do not pray. You say that's elementary. Yes, indeed. But it's true, right? So we give God thanks for this gift that he's given us of prayer. And Paul said to continue in prayer, to be constant in prayer, to always be in a place of prayer. And so when that text came through, I remember I was just talking to the Lord as I was on my walk, and I just started talking to the Lord about this man. Father, would you help? Jesus, we just claim your healing and your grace and your mercy over his life. And so we just prayed, right? Now, we also talked last week about this fact that God has gone before us in everything. And if you heard me say this before, I'll say it now so you can get what I'm talking about. I said this years ago. God is standing in your future. He is standing in your future. Well, then if that's true, and it is, then I don't have to worry about my future because he is already there. Listen, where you're headed, he's already standing. So then what that means then for me is then I should look forward to what's ahead. I should not have fear and trepidation about what's coming, but I look forward to waking up every day. You know, Christians should like Monday morning. Amen. I've been hearing all my life people talk about Monday morning like it's the worst day of the week. You know why? Because they have no hope. They have no foundation. Their life is on shifting sand, right? But when you're standing and established on the Lord Jesus, you look forward to every day. Why? Because this is the day the Lord hath made. I can rejoice and I'll be glad in it, because that's gladness. Amen. There's gladness for the one who knows God. So let me read a few scriptures for you. I got a few out of the Old Testament, a couple in the New. But just to show you this throughout the Old Testament and how God, according to his saints, went before his people. So you remember in Genesis chapter 24, Abraham calls his servant, put your hand under my thigh, which was a practice, how they made a promise, a covenant, and said, you're going to go to the land of my home, and you're going to get a wife for my son. And the steward said, well, suppose he won't come back with me. Should I go get a wife from the daughters of Cain? He said, no. Or he said, should I take him back there? He said, do not take my son back to my home, to my old home. Don't take him back. Why? Because God had promised them Canaan where they were. So he's not to go back. He says, well, what if the woman won't go with me? And Genesis 24:7, listen at what Abraham says. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And I always like to say, in the book of Hebrews, it says we're living under a better covenant. Okay? If he sent the angel before him, what's before you? Hello, if he went before him, is he going before you? You better know he is. You better know he is, right? Genesis 45 and 5, Joseph said to his brothers, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to preserve life. Does God send people before? Does God do things? Yes, he does. All the time. All the time. Matter of fact, process this thought. What if God put you through a life-altering pain and tribulation in order to save your family? Oh, I see a few eyebrows went up, but that's about it. I said, let me repeat it again. I said, what if God put you through life-altering pain and tribulation in order to save your family? Because that's what God did with Joseph. I mean, Joseph's life was on the chopping block. I mean, it was sacrificed, if you will. Wasn't taken, but it was altered so that he could save his entire family. But I'm sure you agree with me in saying this, that it was well worth it. And if I had to go through it and have the same outcome, so be it, Lord. So be it. Exodus 13, verse 20. The children of Israel going through the wilderness. It reads, so they took their journey from Succoth and encamped at Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way. Does the Lord go before you every day? Yes, he does. Thank you, sister. Every day to lead the way. When I read that, the problem, I don't have a problem with God. He's leading. The problem I have is with the follower. Hello. He's always before us. He's always going before us, leading. Say, come on. And here sometime I'm back there going, like when my wife and the children, they were in a homeschool soccer league. And this image pops up in my mind. My wife would have this little team of these children out there playing soccer. And here come the ball. And they kick the ball down the thing. And there's this little girl. And here's the ball coming this way. And she's doing like this. She's pointing all up and around. Other people down playing in the grass, chasing bugs and everything. They have no idea. They're not paying attention to anything. They're not following the coach. They're not following the game. They're not following anything. And every now and again, you know, I find myself in that situation. I said, Lord, help me to be a good follower because I know you have gone before me. You're always out in front of me. And he set a pillar of fire to give them light in the night. Exodus 14, 19. Reason, the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. The angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. This was in response to the Pharaoh and his army chasing them again now after they released them from Egypt, coming to get vengeance. And God moved from before them to go behind them to protect them from the army of Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 17, verse 5, when Moses, the people were hungry and thirsty in the wilderness, and at one point they spoke about stoning Moses. They were so upset. They said, we're going to kill the leader. You brought us out into this hot desert. Ain't nothing for us to eat, nothing for us to drink. We're mad. And Moses cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, they're ready to stone me. And in Exodus 17, verse 5, the scripture says, the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock and water will come out of it that the people may drink. So when Moses faced this crisis where his life was on the line, reminds me of Acts chapter 7. When Stephen was giving his life, where was Jesus? Standing at the right hand of the Father. When John the Baptist was in prison and Herod sent the executioner, take off his head. Where was Jesus? The Bible doesn't say it, but you know who Jesus is. Where was the presence of God? Right there with John the Baptist. Right there. In the New Testament, as New Testament believers, when a believer goes to be with the Lord, where is it? You remember Touched by an Angel years ago? And they had what was called the, I don't know if it was the death angel or whatever, but I'll never forget my friend who used to clean carpet with me. He said they were at his grandmother's bedside in the hospital. And these were the last seconds of her life. And she had been somewhat comatose. And all of a sudden, she sat up. She looked at the end of her bed and she says, "Well, they're here." She said, "They're here." And they said, "Who, Grandma? Who?" She says, "Well, they're right there." She says, "Okay, I'm ready." She says, "Bye, y'all." And was gone. And was gone. Hello. Hello. Come on. Where is he? When any of us go to be with him, where is he? I believe he's right there. He said, "I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you." Especially in that moment where you have the least bit of knowledge and the most concern about what's going to happen to me. Come on. You believe me and you trusted me all this time. I'm going to walk you into the kingdom. Come on. He's going to take you by your hand. Like what he did with Enoch. Enoch didn't meet with death, but God took him. He just literally took him. And I don't know how that transition worked, but he just whoop. And he went up to glory. Amen. Yes. And so God told Moses, this is what leaders are supposed to do. You go before the people. But make no mistake about the leader you looking at. Before the leader is God. He says, you go on before the people in Exodus 17. He says, and I will stand before you. So that when Moses struck the rock, make no mistake, it was God. You know, I don't know if he clicked, blew on it. You know, it doesn't matter. The rock had to do what God told it to do, right? Exodus 23, moving on, Exodus 23 and 20. Behold, I send an angel, capital A, an angel, theophany, Christophany, whatever you want to call it, pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. I send an angel before you to keep you in the way. And to bring you into the place which I have prepared. To keep you in the way. Let me tell you something. First Peter, that's our book. First Peter chapter 1 says that you and I are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. We are kept by God. And this scripture, he says, I've sent my angel to keep you in the way. Because I just told you, some of us little ones, we just be wandering off and this, that, and the other thing. No, he's going to keep us in the way. Exodus 33 and 2 confirms the same thing. It says, and I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite. New Testament application for that in our life, again, is the weapons, you know, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. They expelled literal people. We're supposed to expel demons. Come on. And those things that want to encroach itself upon the kingdom of God, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we're to drive it out. Amen. And he said, I will go before you in order to make that possible, to make it happen. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29. Moses says to the people, then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you. He will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. In other words, so when you and I, and there are some battles that you and I are going to face this week. Okay, we know that. We don't know what they are yet. But we know how life works. We know how it is. There's going to come an obstacle. There's going to come an opportunity for us to really test our faith. There's going to come opportunities for us to believe God, for us to be patient, for us to forgive. Amen. And not let bitterness take root, and all sorts of opportunities going to come. But he says, the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you. And this is what we need to remember. When the battle comes and when that struggle arises, know this, that the Lord says he will fight for you. So then, and that being true, then it begins to be, okay, well, what's my part? What's my part? He says that according to all that he showed you, did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord told them and says that the Lord God in the desert, he carried you as a man carries his son. And all the way that you went until you came to this place. The reason why they got to where they're going was because God carried them. And the reason why you and I are going to get to where we're going is because God is carrying us. Remember footprints? Okay. The footprints got it wrong. They said when it's been one set of prints the whole way. Come on, y'all. You know, you know. Revelation is progressive. Come on, you learn a little bit, and then you live a little bit, and then you learn a little bit more, and you look back on what you thought you knew, and you say, oh, no, let's revise that. Let's revise that. Yeah, no, it hasn't been two prints. It's been one all the way. Hello. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in fire by night and cloud by day. Deuteronomy 9:3. Therefore understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes before you as a consuming fire. The Lord your God is he who goes before you as a consuming fire. Now, that fire is to consume everything that goes before it. When we read these scriptures, you say, yeah, that's God. But oftentimes we forget when we get in the battle. And, you know, these days, as I grow older in the Lord, my thing is this, is when it comes, when it arises, I'm talking to Jesus. I say, oh, Lord, I know you know. You see what's going on. I'm not moved. What did Jehoshaphat say? This is what Jehoshaphat said. He said, aren't you the God who delivered Israel? And he reminded God, he talked about the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And then he said this. He says, we see all this great company coming against us. And he said, and we don't know what to do. Therefore, our eyes are upon you. Come on, church. Come on. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that this week, before the next 7 days out, you're going to have ample opportunity to put your eyes on Jesus. You're going to say, Lord, would you help me? Because I really don't know what to do in this. And what does it do but put the Christian back in the posture that we were to assume all of our lives? We set ourselves to pray. Listen, if the Son of God, while he lived here, gave himself to prayer all the time. If he needed to pray, God, Jesus, I know he said to this old boy, boy, if he needed to pray, what you do? What you do? What you do, boy? You going to pray. That's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. Yeah, this is why I go on walks. Spend time alone with God. Yes, exercise. I'm always needing to shave something. Amen. But while I'm out shaving, amen, I need him. I need you, Lord. And you know that song, that song, Breathe, that we need you desperately. I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you. I must have you. And so the scripture says that he will destroy them and bring them down before you. So you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Deuteronomy 31:3, the Lord your God himself crosses over before you. This is the passage of scripture where God told Moses, you're not going into the promised land, inaugurate Joshua. He's going to take them over the Jordan. And he says, the Lord God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and he shall dispossess them. I'm like, my goodness. Church, listen, this, I mean, it says it all. He says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to cross over before you. I'm going to destroy the nations. Well, what has been left for us to do? Oh, plenty. Just obedience. Just obey me. Walk with me. Right? And you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said to you. Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord said, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. He is the Lord. He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not be dismayed. And so every day, you and I can look forward when we wake up in the morning and have to approach that day that we know nothing about what's going to happen. We do know the one who owns the day, as the song says. I don't need to know what's going to happen. I just need to know the one who's over everything that happens. Hello? Let me say that again. Let me minister to myself. That's not in my notes, you understand. Amen. I don't need to know what's going to happen. I just need to know the one who is over everything's going to happen. Because when it does happen, I can look in him, to look to him and trust and know that I'm going to make it through this. And even more so than that, whatever I have to go through to bring your glory, help me to do it, Father. Amen? Because all of this existence is about his glory. All of creation exists to glorify the Creator. So if he's glorified by me going through whatever, then so be it. Amen. And then I have to mention this scripture because I referred to it last week. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 22. David fighting the Philistines. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, and he said, the Lord said, you shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. And so in this account, David was told to go. I mean, this sounds. I mean, any general will be like, mulberry trees. Come on, it's like when Jesus was walking on the shore and the fishermen who've been fishing all their life, they ain't caught nothing. And Jesus, a rabbi, and the rabbi on the shore walking, and he said, children, cast the net on the right side of the boat. And all the fishermen been fishing all their life, looking over, going, who that? Who's that over there telling us, man, you know how long we've been doing this? They threw the net on the right side of the boat and couldn't haul it in. Hello. And so David goes and he goes up in top in front of the mulberry trees and he waits. And when he heard the marching, God said, don't go until you hear the marching. As I said last week, why did God say that? Because when he heard the marching, those were the angels' feet going out before David. My God, man, if you told me, just listen for the marching, what? Every day. Man, you ready to go? Uh-uh. No. Come on, man. Everything looks good. I ain't heard it yet. I ain't going nowhere. Okay, man, suit yourself. Okay, you go ahead. No! You're going to wait
Because God has gone out before you. And David, in this particular instance, as Israel has done throughout all his history, got victory over nations they had no way of in the natural. Absolutely no way of defeating. None. Then in the New Testament, John 8:58. This goes beyond just going out before you. Jesus talking to the Israelites, to some Jews who were claiming that Abraham was their father, who Jesus told later, you are of your father, the devil. He told them who their father was. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Before he was, I am. The one that you look to and the one that you revere and hold up as your right to all of what was going on in that day. Jesus says, no, before him I existed because I created him. You understand? And then in Matthew 26 and 32, Jesus told his disciples, but after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And we have this one mention in Jesus' life of going before them, but it was about the most important thing that would happen. That was the resurrection. Because him going before them into Galilee solidified their belief that he rose from the dead and he absolutely was who he said he was, right? All right, so those are a few scriptures, not all of them, in the Word of God that talk about God's presence going before us. And as you know, from day to day, I get this text, that text, or in a customer's home praying with someone, I know that God has set it up and God has gone before. My whole week was full of prayer, mostly prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of petition, as is all my life. You know, I've been cleaning carpet now for 30 years. And every now and again, you know, you think at the 30 years, as careful as you can be. But this past week, a hose got up underneath my foot. Lord Jesus. Hose got up underneath my foot and I slipped. I was on the stairs and I slipped and my head going for the wall. I don't know what stopped, but Lord said, I can't let this boy hit that wall because that wall going to be in trouble. And but something stopped me. And I said, so I pray, you know, it's prayers of thanksgiving mostly that I pray, because when you recognize that he's gone before you and you see him doing things, you live a life of thanksgiving. Amen. That's what I'm doing, a life of gratitude. You're always talking about, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you were there. You saw, you knew what was going on, and I know it, therefore I must give thanks. So Friday I'm at work, and someone called in, said they need some carpet clean. So I called them back, and this person said, this is Sharon Goss. I'm like, who? Sharon? I'm like, you don't know. That don't sound right. Anyhow, so after I got it straight, she called to get her carpet clean, but she goes to this church, not our church, Nova. And she says to me, Pastor, I'm sure you've heard. I said, heard what? I ain't heard a thing. I got a terrible diagnosis. I'm dying of bone cancer. I'm like, what? Yeah. Sharon. Worship team, Sharon. Yeah. And I was like, sister, I'm sorry. I did not know. But you will be in prayer. We're going to pray for you. So I was going to send out the text then, but I was so busy at work that Friday evening. And so please keep her in prayer. Listen, the doctors tell you what they know. What does that mean? They don't know everything. So we're going to pray that God will perform a miracle on her. Then yesterday, I came to the church to get, because we were going to get some tables for the retirement party. And I came to the church around noon to pick up some tables, and I walked through the door, and they're having the healing rooms. Everyone remember Jeff and Lacela? Remember Jeff and Lacela? They used to go to Nova years ago. He was the big guy, Italian guy, back at the sound booth, and his wife was on prayer team and all that. Anyhow, they've been running healing rooms ever since. They before they left Nova, and still doing it. So when I came through the door and saw them, my mind immediately went to Cheryl. Cheryl is a friend of Katie Urich, who is dying with a believer who is dying with colon cancer, and fourth stage. I mean, she's got months to a year. And so my mind thought about her, and I texted Katie and said, Katie, they're going to be here till 4 p.m. today. Would you want to get your friend and have her come and pray? And so long story short, Katie got her and her husband to come, and we spent some time back there in the prayer room laying hands on this woman and speaking the word to her and believing God for healing. And so many of you know about her, especially if you're on Tuesday nights. We've been praying for her. And I would ask you to continue to pray for her because, they've got children, they're married, and it's just, let me tell you something, that you often, I don't know how often it really hits us, but life is precious. I mean, life is precious. Let me ask you, let me put it this way. What does God owe you and me? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So every day when we wake up, what ought we to be? There you go. In a huge way. I mean, in an absolutely enormous way. Because he doesn't owe us a thing. Yet he created us. He doesn't owe us anything. But oftentimes, we'll wake up tomorrow like it belongs to us. And when things don't go right, we can get an attitude like, what's wrong? Right. Like, ho, wait a second. The Creator's good. You here by no doing of your own, because I don't keep this ticker beating. We don't do. When you think about this life, when the scripture Psalm 145:19 says this, the Lord is good to all. He's good to all. His tender mercies are over all. I was watching a man on YouTube the other day, a black man who used to be, he said he was a pastor of a church. And he was on YouTube saying, no one in this book ever existed. No one. And I'm looking at this man teach, and I'm trying to process it. I'm saying, Lord, what? And then he has another title that says, what are we going to do with Jesus? Because all that's fake. This man used to be a pastor, he said. And I'm like, and yet God's good to all. He's good to all. And so that throws thankfulness and gratitude in a whole different light for me. Throws it in a whole different light. Because he owes us nothing, yet he gives us, everything. Acts 17 says he gives life, breath, and all things. He gives us life, breath. We take breath for granted. Let shortness of breath come up on you, and then you'll find out. You'll be like, and then when you come out of that, you'll be like, See, why do we have to go through that? Shouldn't have to. When you think about the goodness of God and all he's done for me, the song says, right? I'm telling you right now that we need to get it. God help us that we don't take who you are and what you do, not only what you've done, but what you do on an ongoing basis for granted. Because literally, Daniel told Belshazzar, the God who holds your breath in his hands, you have not glorified. The God who holds your breath, and you have not glorified. And that night, Belshazzar died. That night, his life was taken from him. And so life is precious. I looked at this couple. And you know, here's another thought. Some people have a diagnosis. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, you're dying of this or that. Let me put something to you. That's what you know about. Can I suggest something to you? Some people dying of something and they don't know it. The outcome gonna be the same. We say it like this. Oh, he was fine. He had nothing. Yeah, we talk like, oh, everything was good. You know, it come from the doctor. He didn't have any problems. That's not the issue. The issue is that we're all going to, it's been pointed on the man to die once, and after that, the judgment. Right? So, you know, when I looked at this young lady, and I looked at her as a daughter of God, just looked at this young lady, I'm like, Father, let your mercies flow over her. But she has a diagnosis. And other people don't, and so they feel good about themselves. You know. Hey. For real? It's not like that at all. Like I said, I had a cousin whose son was a football player. He was going to go out for a major team. 25 years old. He was a minister. Went to bed one night. He didn't have any diagnosis. He didn't have a life-threatening illness. He just didn't wake up. So when we pray, we not only pray for those who are sick. Come on, we need to pray for everybody. Amen. We all need God desperately. And we need to know that he's gone before us, right? Because he was God the day before you went to the doctor and got the diagnosis. And he's God while you in the office. And he's God when you got back home and feel like your world just been torn apart. But his world ain't changed a bit. And he's Lord over your world. And there's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing that he cannot do. And so we look to him. We set our eyes upon him. Amen. Let me close with Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, where Jesus says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who think they'll be heard for their much speaking. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. He knows what you have need of before you ask him. Let's stand. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are God in heaven above and in earth below. We thank you that there is nothing you do not know. We thank you that there is nothing that you cannot do. The arm of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is your ear deaf that you cannot hear. But we thank you, O God. God. We thank you that you reign, O God, and the heaven rules in the kingdom of men. And Father, I pray, Lord, that each and every day, Lord, our gratitude and our thanksgiving would be simply recognizing that you rule in all things concerning us. That you go before us, and Father, our eyes would be open to see. Lord, as Elisha's servants' eyes were open to see the mountains filled with chariots and horses of fire before him, O God. Lord, that we would know that every circumstance into which we find ourselves entering, Lord, you are there as the fourth man in the fire, Lord, to deliver and to save. So, Lord, may our eyes always be fixed on you. May our hearts, O God, be full of faith to embrace you in all of your beauty, your wonder, your holiness. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.